Open your heart, open your mind to the word of the Lord, and let the Lord speak to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Amen. I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the Spirit of liberty. Why don't we lay down our Bibles and ask the Lord to help us in the remainder of this service. Thank you, Jesus, for your Spirit that I feel in this house today. God, I believe that you've come this morning for a distinct purpose. Pray that every heart and every mind would receive with meekness the engrafted word that's able to help us, that's able to save us. Pray that you would use me, God, as a mouthpiece, Lord. Share your word, God, with this good church and every member and every visitor, God, that's in this place. Pray that we would receive your word, God, and be obedient to it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord this morning? We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning. Amen. I said just a moment ago, and I'm not mincing words. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I want you to understand that when you come to the house of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord is, that is God's presence. And he can do whatever he wishes, whatever is within his will, whatever is within his purpose. Amen. That when God's presence is here, amen, there's no stopping. There is no hindering. Amen. What God can do. Hallelujah. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. I believe it with every fiber of my being. The Lord gave this message to me a few weeks ago. Amen. I just have been praying and waiting for the opportunity to preach the message. Amen. And the Lord laid it on me. Amen. So very strongly on my way home from Colorado yesterday. Amen. This message that I believe that there's somebody in this place. I don't know what your name is. I don't know what your face looks like. Amen. But you came this morning. Amen. And you've been bound by, amen, a way of life. A lifestyle, and God wants to set you free today. Hallelujah. I'm not just trying to play around. I don't want to tug your emotional strings. I want you to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. This morning. Amen. John's gospel tells us beautiful imagery of who God is and what he is in various ways. And it seems to me that John was fascinated with God's essence and his being. And so you read through the book of John, the gospel of John, and you see various descriptions of God's being and who and what God is. And in one passage of scripture in John chapter 4 verse 24, John captures Jesus' description of God. In John 4 verse 24, Jesus said, "God is a spirit." Perhaps this is the most simple definition or description of who and what God is. But all of what God is defined in this simple phrase that God is a spirit. Hallelujah. And Jesus went on to say they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. But in later passages throughout the rest of John, amen, I'm just going to build a little foundation before we get to where we're going this morning. Amen. But John, later on in his writings, in the same gospel, describes to us the Spirit. He provides a little bit more description of what the Spirit is. Not just a Spirit, but the Spirit of God contains certain characteristics, certain attributes, certain things that are distinct to that one eternal Spirit. In John chapter 14 verse 17, the Bible tells us that even the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, contains absolute, undeniable truth. Hallelujah. Whom the world cannot receive. He goes on to say, because it seemeth him not, neither know that seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. Verse 26 of John 15, the very next passage, John continues to say, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send from you, send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Spirit of truth comes from the Father. The Spirit of truth defines or is a characteristic, is an attribute of the Spirit of God. In John chapter 16, verse 13, just bear with me for a few more moments as I lay this foundation. Verse 13 says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, when he is come, he will lead, he will guide you into all truth." He won't leave you in your current circumstance, in the deceit, the deceptions of life, and the things that you've been able to, the things that you have amassed in your mind, the conclusions that you have drawn. If they are wrong and the Spirit of truth has come to you, he will correct you. He will guide you. He will show you the way of God more perfectly. That's what the Spirit of truth will do. But not only is the Spirit of God the Spirit of truth, later on in one of his epistles, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he describes God's Spirit as being love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God, the Spirit, who is a spirit according to John 4:24, is love." So God is love. This is the Spirit of love. John reiterates it in a few verses later, verse 16, "And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love," he says again, emphatically. And we have heard, as pastors taught in previous lessons, that the premier characteristic, the attribute of God, is holiness. Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, that "as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." This Spirit of God is a holy spirit. He is holy. He speaks and utters absolute truth. If there's any confusion in your mind, then all you have to do is come to the Spirit of truth and he will set your mind straight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you feel like you have been left on your own and alone, he is the one that will never leave you nor forsake you. But he is the Spirit of love. And he's coming to this sanctuary this morning, amen, to not leave you the way that you are. Hallelujah. Paul admonishes us in two separate epistles what the fruit of the Spirit is. And in other words, if you have the Spirit of God in your life, you ought to exhibit these distinct characteristics. By these verses, since they describe what is the fruit of the Spirit, then I believe Paul is describing additional attributes of God's own Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And perhaps a lesser known passage of scripture, in an epistle to the Ephesians, he reiterates two of what we just read as the fruit of the Spirit. But he adds one that we have already mentioned as well. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, he says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Amen. I'm talking to you right now about the Spirit of God, who and what he is. And when he comes to visit his people, he comes with a distinct purpose, not just to leave us the way that we are, but as he told the children of Israel of old, that if you are going to be my children, you must be holy. Why? Because I'm holy. He expects those of us who contain his Spirit, who have been filled with his Spirit, to carry his image, to look like him, to act like him, to talk like him, to carry those attributes, those characteristics that I just described and read for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there is yet one characteristic that I have read for you this morning, with outside of our text, that I want to focus on, that I believe the Lord specifically wants to exhibit in this service today. Hallelujah. Does anybody believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Are you waiting for some just whiz-bang thing? Are you waiting for some certain feeling to cause you? Or do you actually believe what's being said right now? Is what is being said resonating with you? Do you remember the time where the Spirit of holiness came to you and issued to you that desire to be more right and more holy with God? Do you remember the spirit of truth that as the man of God preached and the spirit of God came, he led you and guided you into all truth? Do you remember that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then help me this morning, if you can, in the remainder of this service, as the Lord is trying to reach for his good people. There are children of God that are not yet been born, not been yet bought by the blood of the Lamb. But I believe the Lord wants to take that price that he's already paid and purchase somebody's soul in this service this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, can we remain in a spirit of prayer? Hallelujah. This morning. Amen. None of these scriptures capture the essence of the Spirit of God that I want to try to relay for you this morning. Amen. They are all relevant. They are all certain. They are all true. I'm not undermining or taking away anything that I just laid out before you this morning. Amen. But I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of the spirit of liberty. I'm not going to be much longer this morning. Amen. And this spirit has been in work. Amen. Throughout the ages. Amen. Through the children of Israel. Countless times. The spirit of liberty. Amen. Was at work in delivering them. Amen. Firstly, we can look at the time that the Lord delivered them from the slavery of the Egyptians. And in Exodus chapter 14 verse 13, the Bible tells us that Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Let me just stop. When the Lord sets you free, there is no reason that you should ever see or come into to acquaintance with what he delivered you from again. He said, the Egyptians, the thing that you are facing today, you should see them again no more forever. Hallelujah. In the final verse of chapter 13, we see that the Bible is careful to point out that the Lord went before the children of Israel. In verse 21 and 22, the Bible tells us of Exodus chapter 13, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Amen. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," in the New Testament. And this, I believe, is just a type, a foreshadowing of the way the Spirit of Liberty works with his people. He does not leave us on our own, no matter how lonely the night might seem. Amen. The children of Israel had just gone through, a series of plagues, or they call them miracles. Amen. It was a miracle, amen, of salvation that brought the children of Israel from slavery into liberty. Amen. It was a spirit of liberty. Amen. That from the moment they left, amen, that nation that once bound them, amen, the cloud of fire by night, amen, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left them. Hallelujah. I mean, it's important to notice this because it was instrumental in the deliverance that the Lord did to the children of Israel. The spirit of liberty delivered the captive from the hands of the captors. God delivered Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw in Exodus chapter 14 verse 24 the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to read this passage briefly and then we'll get to where we're going. It says, "And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptian said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again unto the Egyptians upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. The Lord fulfilled his word. He said, you're not going to see them anymore forever. And he ensured that his word came to pass. Amen. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land. Verse 29 goes on to say, in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Amen. I don't know what it was like, amen, for a slave who just a few days before, amen, was born, amen, bearing the weight, amen, of his duties on a daily basis as the sweat trickled down his brow. Amen. He carried out, amen, under, amen, the overbearing taskmasters, amen, their daily responsibilities. Amen. But today is a new day altogether. Amen. Where the Egyptians that once drave the whip on their back, amen, are now laying dead on the seashore. Amen. And now they're walking in absolute and complete liberty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It might seem to you, child of God, the thing that you're facing, amen, will never let you go. Amen. The taskmaster that you're under, amen, will never give you, amen, that release that you need. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the spirit of liberty is here to set you free. Hallelujah. Amen. When the pillar of fire came by night, amen, it warmed them, gave them the comfort that they needed. Amen. The cloud by day, amen, they never had to suffer for want. Amen. All of you can read on into the Old Testament as the Lord provided them manna, miracle bread, so that they had enough food, amen, to be taken care of. But all of this took place as a result of what the Spirit of Liberty brought to them. Amen. And the children of God were set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can see throughout the Old Testament, time after time, even after they had set free from Egypt, they went into the promised land, they settled there, and then they started finding other interests other than what the spirit of liberty brought to them, other nations, other cultures, other desires, other idols. And as the Lord put it in Judges chapter 10, verse 10 through 15, they somehow forgot. Let me read this for you. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians? And then I'm trying to get to the point here, so I'm letting this summarize the history of Israel. But it wasn't just the Egyptians that the Lord delivered the children of Israel from. He goes on to say, didn't I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines? Verse 12, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites did oppress you. And he cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet, verse 13, he goes on to say, ye have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. The children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. The children of Israel had learned that the power of the spirit of liberty, amen, was ever present, was ever readily available, that no matter how many times they fell back into the same old sin, the same old lifestyle that they had become acquainted with, that the spirit of liberty was always ready to set them free one more time. Amen. As you read through the story of the book of Judges, you see countless story after story, amen, this vicious
cycle of sin that the children of Israel, amen. And I want you to understand that even in this situation, God, have mercy on them one more time. And the spirit of liberty came and he set them free. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know if anybody, amen, has been where the children of Israel, but I've been there. Amen, I've been, amen, subject, amen, to the powers and the slavery of sin. Amen, and I have fought and I have struggled, amen, to gain victory. And the spirit of liberty would come and he'd set me free. Amen, and then, amen, a few months later, I find myself, amen, facing the same old chains, the same old bondage. And I'm here to tell you today that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. Whatever you're facing, whatever chains you have binding you, amen, the spirit of liberty can set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have much further to go this morning. Amen. Will the church help me? Amen. The remaining moments of this service. Amen. The messianic prophecy. Amen. Is to, by the prophet Isaiah identified. Amen. Who would come? One that would come and the purpose for which he would come. Amen. The children of Israel. Amen. Once again find themselves in bondage. Amen. By another. Amen. Sinful nation. Amen. The Romans who had taken possession over their precious land that the Lord had promised to them. And the prophet of old told them that one day a Messiah would come and he would give them liberty. And they had translated that to understand that, oh, I'm going to have an earthly kingdom. We're going to see success here on earth. But they totally misunderstood. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This is the common misunderstanding of the Jews throughout the ages, that every time the Lord would come through and deliver them, he was looking for a people who would be set free spiritually, but all they wanted was freedom from the physical chains that bound them. All they wanted was liberty, amen, from the financial, amen, and the responsibilities, amen, that lay at their feet, amen. But God wanted to set them free in their soul and in their spirit, amen, that they would never be bound again. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're set free from financial challenges and bonds, amen, friend, let me tell you something. Amen. Those bonds will come right back. Amen. It's just a way of life. It rains on the just and on the unjust. If you're set free, amen, from other physical limitations and barriers, whether in your body or in your health, amen, and for a temporary period of time, amen, the Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die. Eventually, those bonds and those chains will come back. Amen. But the liberty that the Spirit of God brings is not temporal liberty. It is not liberty, amen, for just a few moments, days, months, or years. But it is an eternal liberation that when you cross, amen, the Red Sea, you are set free indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You look at your coworkers, say, I want to be successful like those guys. I want to see freedom like that. I want a beautiful family life. And friend, amen, God may bless you with those things. Amen. But that's not what I'm preaching this morning. I'm not preaching prosperity or wealth or health. I'm preaching about the spirit of liberty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus came, this is what the prophet said. Let me jump ahead of myself a little bit. Verse 1 and through 3 of Isaiah chapter 61. He said, this is a prophecy to the nation, the very people that we were just talking about that were delivered from Egypt, who had gone through this cycle of being bound and set free, bound and set free, bound, set free, the spirit of liberty, never leaving them. But then the prophet comes along and says, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me, prophetically speaking about the Messiah, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now the children of Israel heard this prophecy and they think, ooh, never going to be a slave again. Never going to come into never going to come into financial troubles again. Never going to have to serve another nation. But they misunderstood what the prophet was trying to convey to them. And Jesus, when he came into this earth, he clarified for them what exactly the prophet was talking about. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, Bible tells us he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. This is his hometown. These are the people that knew him best. And he goes on to say, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This isn't just any old spirit. This is the eternal spirit of the ages. The God of Israel. This was the one, amen, that had come to set them free. And in fulfillment, amen, of what the prophet had said, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, amen, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, amen, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He said, I came with the Spirit of the Lord upon me. And we might look at the first couple of reasons that the Spirit came and get excited. He preaches the gospel to the poor. The Pharisees looked down their nose at the poor. They were not welcome in their synagogues. But Jesus said, that's a different story for me. I come with the Spirit of liberty to preach the gospel to the poor. He said, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And those that have been brokenhearted. The calamities of life have distressed them and they're broken now. Jesus said, I came to heal them. And he goes on to say the recovering of sight to the blind. What a wonderful testimony of Jesus' ministry. And you see, you can read through the Gospels and see how the Lord did each of these things in spectacular fashion. But you need to understand that this wasn't the end of his ministry while he walked here on earth. He came to do more than just provide financial blessings for the poor, healing for the brokenhearted, those downtrodden souls, and providing healing, physical healing for those who are blind. But he brought a message of liberty to the captives. He said to preach deliverance to the captives. But I want you to understand it wasn't even just a message of liberty to the captives. He didn't just come and preach good words that tickled their ears and said, man, this is what I'd like to have. He did come with that message, but it didn't stop with just a message, Sister Tori. It went beyond just words. And the Bible tells us that he came to set at liberty them who are bruised. The word means broken by calamity. Where the calamities of life, we sang about it this morning, the toils of life, those things that weigh down on our life, the things that bind us, that weigh us down. The Spirit of liberty came not to just preach a message so that you can hurrah and hooray, amen, around it, but so he could set at liberty those who are bound. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? The prophet said, the Spirit of the Lord is coming to liberate us. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to liberate you. I didn't just come, amen, with a fancy message like all the prophets. Amen. I didn't just come to regurgitate a message that I've heard before, but I have come to set free those who are bound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word that is translated as deliverance and translated as liberty is the same Greek word in this passage. Prophecy was about, Sister Tori, you can come, the one that would come to end the vicious cycle of sin. I'm not just preaching deliverance, but Jesus said, I'm giving deliverance. Said, I'm not just preaching about freedom. I am setting free. He said, I'm not just preaching about liberty. I am giving liberty. Hallelujah. You may be wondering, hearing this message. Yes, that sounds good. You can begin to play when you're ready. Sounds good. I want what Brother Jared is preaching about. I want liberty. I want this victory in my life. But you might be wondering when. When Jesus preached, he said, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Behold, church, I want you to behold. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. I mean, if we could all stand together. You don't have to wait even until the service this evening. I started this message by appealing to someone who has come to the house of the Lord, who has felt the Spirit of God, and has left the same way that you came. I am trying to get your attention this morning. I want you to understand that the spirit of liberty is not just for those with the fancy suits and neckties on and the beautiful dresses and curly hair. Has nothing to do with our looks. Has everything to do with that precious spirit that brought liberty. Blessings of finance and health and all these things may come. Jesus said, that's a part of it, potentially. It's all subject to the will of the Lord. Amen. But what is certain for every member and every person that's in this place is absolute and complete liberty from all bondage of sin, amen, death and hell. Amen. When you pass from this earth, where are you going? Are you going to spend your eternity in a hell, amen, burning with those who have been judged and never liberated from the bondage of sin? Or would you, amen, leave this earth behind and go into an eternity spending looking upon the one who saved us and liberated us? Let's all pray right now. Let's talk to the Lord this morning. Come on, let's lift our voices together. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to open these altars this morning. I'm asking, hallelujah, not for the purpose of embarrassing anybody, but let me tell you, you don't have to walk out with the same weight hanging around your neck. You don't have to walk out of this place with those same chains. The spirit of liberty is here. Somebody ought to testify, amen, to how the Lord has set them free before. You ought to thank God, amen, that the spirit of liberty has once come. Hallelujah, Jesus.